Hare Krishna. So we have a seminar which we call Lessons from the Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, which I think we have not conducted up here. So we are these few nights this week, we are discussing some of those pastimes. In other words, we're giving that seminar bit by bit. And this evening we'll continue, because it is Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Marathon. Already started. And book distribution, Sankirtan, this means the movement of Lord Chaitanya. So that mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that's really very important when it comes to helping us participate in the marathon and distribute lots of books and spread the movement of Lord Chaitanya. So this evening we'll discuss one of those pastimes, or if we have time to. You may be, probably many of you will be somewhat familiar with these pastimes, but that's okay. Repetition of a good thing is good. So there are different layers, different levels of meaning and substance and different types of points on different levels in these pastimes. So even though I've been conducting this seminar for a year now, or thereabouts, and maybe 20 times or more, but every time it's nicer. Okay, so I thought this evening we could discuss the pastime of Lord Chaitanya meets Keshav Kashmiri. Famous pastime. I know many of you have heard this before, but let us hear it again. So, Lord Chaitanya, this pastime takes place when Lord Chaitanya was a young man, maybe 20 years old, or something like that. Or perhaps even slightly younger, but around about 20. And he had just, not long before, started manifesting his divine pastimes as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as the topmost devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Up until a certain point in time, Lord Chaitanya was acting as if he was not God, for sure, and not even a devotee, but some sort of mundane scholar, something like that. He was acting like that. Anyway, this, it's a long story, but at one point he met Ishvara Puri, and when that happened, there was a great transformation in his life. And almost immediately, almost on the spot, he became completely intoxicated in pure love of God. So then, Lord Chaitanya, he began teaching Sanskrit and related subject matters. He began teaching, and he started a little school with young students, and he started teaching them rudimentary, basic Sanskrit. And life was going on like that. Then one day this Keshav Kashmiri came rolling into town, into Navadvipa. He was what is called a Dig Vijay. Dig means the directions, and Vijay means one who is victorious. Vijay. In all the directions he was traveling all over and debating, having different philosophical debates with other scholars and defeating them. And then generally they would become his disciples or followers to some degree. This was the custom in those days. And they were, all those defeated scholars, they were very much embarrassed. And Keshav Kashmiri was becoming more and more famous, practically by the day. And he was loving it. All that glorification, he was just soaking it up like a sponge. And really relishing being glorified and thinking that he was very important. So he came into Navadvip, and everyone heard Navadvip was a big center of learning in those days. The word went out, Keshav Kashmiri is in town. He wants to debate with all our scholars. So suddenly, all the scholars, because they had heard of Keshav Kashmiri, suddenly all of the scholars got into anxiety. They all looked at their watches and said, oh, important appointment, I forgot, in the next town or a few towns away, must go immediately. And they all just abandoned ship and just left. They all found excuses for leaving town and not debating with Keshav Kashmiri. So it was a big thing, these debates they would have. In those days, they did not have TV. That may sound unbelievable. You may be wondering, how did they live? How was their life before TV? It's not possible. But what they did, at least in India, a lot, there would be these debates, and the whole town would go. No soccer matches or cricket matches. Everyone would go to the weekly debates, and they would be there, you know, supporting their favorite scholar. This was going on in those days. So Keshav Kashmiri came, and he couldn't find anyone to debate with. Except the only scholar who was left was Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya was a new boy. He was only maybe 20, and he had just started teaching Sanskrit. He was not one of the established, experienced, reputed scholars at all. He was teaching children, basically, Sanskrit. But there was no one else. So Keshav Kashmiri came. He came to the school of Lord Chaitanya, and in a very pompous way, with his retinue of followers, he approached Lord Chaitanya and said, oh, you are that Nimai I've heard of, aren't you? And Lord Chaitanya, he was very humble, that yes, I am your servant. You are Keshav Kashmiri. You are so great. I am not fit to be your servant. And when Keshav Kashmiri heard that, his head, which was already expanded to about that size, his head went a bit further, and he thought, yes, you're right. I am being so merciful to you here. So he said, yes, I have heard of you, Nimai Pandit. I have heard that you are very accomplished in teaching beginner's Sanskrit, which is like sarcasm, you know, really being unpleasant. And Lord Chaitanya said, I am not fit to be your disciple. Please be kind. And Lord Chaitanya said, I have heard there is no greater poet in the world than you. Shakespeare, Wordsworth, Keats, they have nothing on you. So, would you please be so kind as to compose some verses for me and my students to hear in glorification of Mother Ganges? Would you please mercifully do that? And again, Keshav Kashmiri's head expanded. Yes, I will be kind to you in this way. So he composed and recited 100 verses in glorification of Mother Ganges on the spot. And that took an hour or more, compose and recite 100 complex verses in Sanskrit. And he recited them like the blowing of the wind, when the wind is really blowing. Yes. So it was really quite something. And afterwards, Lord Chaitanya Lord Chaitanya got a little sarcastic with him also. Lord Chaitanya said, you know, that poem is so amazing, so sophisticated and so complicated that only you and Mother Saraswati could understand it. But I have a question. I would like you to explain the qualities, the attributes, and the faults of one of those verses. And Lord Chaitanya then recited one of the verses from somewhere in the middle of it. This is 100 verses, all brand new. And just recited just like that, once only each. But Lord Chaitanya just recited one of those, like, I don't know which one, maybe verse 67 or something, perfectly from memory. And this was like the beginning of the end for Keshav Kashmiri. His extreme confidence and boldness took quite a knock when Lord Chaitanya just repeated verbatim, perfectly, one of those verses from somewhere in the middle of the whole thing. So Keshav Kashmiri could not believe it. Sri Sinadai Gora Hare King. Keshav Kashmiri could not believe it. And he asked Lord Chaitanya, how did you do that? And Lord Chaitanya said, well, Mother Saraswati gives her mercy to some people by allowing them to compose nice verses and use words very nicely. And Mother Saraswati gives her mercy to other people by allowing them to memorize those verses. So Keshav Kashmiri became a little unsettled because Lord Chaitanya was referring to his Ishta Devi. His worshipful deity was Mother Saraswati. And he had darshan of her and receive various blessings from her. And he was, you know, this was one of the things that he was really counting on, the mercy of Mother Saraswati. But here Lord Chaitanya had said that you've got the mercy of Mother Saraswati, but so do I. So therefore now Keshav Kashmiri is feeling slightly unsettled. And he said, well, which verse? So Lord Chaitanya, anyway, Lord Chaitanya recited that verse. And the translation at least is, the greatness of Mother Ganges always brilliantly exists. She is the most fortunate because she has emanated from the lotus feet of Sri Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She is a second goddess of fortune, and therefore she is always worshipped both by the demigods and by humanity. Endowed with all wonderful qualities, she flourishes on the head of Lord Shiva. So Lord Chaitanya recited this verse, which astonished Keshav Kashmiri. And Lord Chaitanya said, I would like you to explain what's wrong with this verse. And Keshav Kashmiri said, what do you mean what's wrong with this verse? This verse is perfect. Perfect, completely. Lord Chaitanya said, no. It has faults. Can you please explain them? So now Keshav Kashmiri is becoming step by step more unsettled. He said, will you explain, please, what the faults are, if you think there are faults? So it's all a little complicated. We won't go through all the points, but the one point which generally is the easiest to get was how he described Lord Shiva. Yes, how he referred to Lord Shiva. He referred to Lord Shiva as Bhavani Bhartu. So, Baba is Lord Shiva. And Bhavani is Durga. Bhavani means the wife of Baba. Durga, who is the wife of Lord Shiva. And Bhartu means husband. So, Bhavani Bhartu literally means that Lord Shiva, that he is the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. Which can easily be taken to imply or mean that she, Durga, has two husbands, which is not proper. And, you know, people, when they hear that, some people at least will laugh. And indeed, Lord Chaitanya's students, when Lord Chaitanya made this point, they started laughing. And, you know, Keshav Kashmiri heard this giggling happening, looked around. They're laughing at me. Oh, what did I say? Bhavani Bhartu, how did I say that? But I didn't notice it. What's going on? So now he's getting really a little disturbed. And Lord Chaitanya pointed out the various other mistakes. And Keshav Kashmiri was feeling quite agitated and like his foundation had kind of shifted or moved out of place, and he was standing there, you know, with no real foundation to stand on. And he thought, oh, I have to say something quickly to save the situation. I have to explain it in some special way. So then he started trying to explain himself. But actually, you know, what I meant was, speaking very quickly, and he found that what he was saying was coming out as like babbling, like, you know, in the Western world, if someone speaks some nonsense, they get their tongue-tied and get all sort of mixed up with their words upside down and so on. They say that he is talking double Dutch. Do they say that down here? Double Dutch. Because Dutch is bad enough. They call it marbles. But double Dutch, oh, that's like, you know, the head is spinning. So he started speaking like this double Dutch, like, whatever you want. And everyone was looking at him like, wow, what happened to you? And Keshav Kashmiri, he thought, wow, what happened to me? And everyone's looking at him like, oh, you're strange. And then again he thought, I've got to say something, I've got to do something, somehow save the situation. So again he tried to say something, but it came out like verbal rubbish. And he realized that I have lost the mercy of Mother Saraswati. How is it possible? And he fell silent. And anyway, Lord Chaitanya said, look, Lord Chaitanya was very nice about it, actually. And in fact, when his students, who were just young people, youngsters prone to giggle and laugh, so they were giggling and laughing, Lord Chaitanya stopped them, because he didn't want to embarrass Keshav Kashmiri too much. So he told Keshav Kashmiri, look, you go home and think about it, and we will meet again tomorrow. So in this way, Keshav Kashmiri was able to exit in a somewhat dignified way. But all the time he was thinking, how did that I obviously lost the mercy of Mother Saraswati. Obviously. But how is it possible? And how is it that I was so blatantly defeated by this young boy? He's just a teenager. How? What is going on? What offense have I made to Mother Saraswati? So that night he was sleeping and he had a dream. Mother Saraswati appeared in this dream and said, you want to know what happened today? Well, that person who you were trying to embarrass and make fun of and make appear to be like some little foolish young fellow, that person is my master. Yes, he's my master. He is the person who I get my potency from. And you were trying to use my mercy against him. So I withdrew my mercy, of course. So tomorrow you go and surrender to him. So he did. The next day he came and surrendered to Lord Chaitanya and gave up all his pretensions and everything about being a big anything, and he just became a devotee. So now this is very important in our Krishna consciousness in general. We have to understand that we are always dependent on mercy, and we are never independent controllers or experts or whatever it may be. Never at all. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I look at myself, I see nothing of value. Your mercy is all I am made of. In other words, if there is anything of value in me, it is because of your mercy. That's all. It's not because of me and my qualifications. If it were just me and whatever I have going for me, then I am just like a series of zeros, personality, zero, you know, intellect, zero, flair, zero, just a string of zeros, or even negatives, intelligence, -10, like that. So we are always dependent on mercy, and we should be aware of that and be in that mood of appreciating the mercy and be in the mood or praying to try and get more mercy in order to serve nicely and be nice instruments in the hands of the Lord. And this applies in all aspects of our Krishna consciousness, but particularly now as the marathon. And when you go out on book distribution, particularly if you go out regularly and you put some hours in and don't just go to your friends and relatives and sell them books, but you actually go and confront the people out there, the ordinary people, and try and give them Krishna consciousness, then generally it does not take long for you to get the realization that I need some mercy to do this. Otherwise I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm going to have to make some excuse and run home with a suitable excuse. So we should not be proud. We should not be looking forward to being able to be proud. By, you know, looking forward to doing something very nicely and then everyone pats us on the back. But we should be thinking and praying, how can I be the humble servant? How can I be the humble instrument in the hands of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to assist them fulfill their mission of giving everyone their message, their mercy, giving everyone the message of Krishna consciousness. So let us try and cultivate this consciousness in this marathon and work very hard, go out regularly and really try and do like this actually on the basis of meditating and desiring in that way, and let us try to avoid this false pride, like we said. Well, Prabhupada said, puffed up. Actually, he's only this size, but now he thinks he's this size because he got puffed up with hot air. Just like you puff up a balloon. But you take one little pin and you just go pop, and then your big, colorful, impressive balloon becomes a useless little piece of rubber, simply fit to be thrown away, which is all it was in the beginning. Yeah. So, is that okay? Try and do as many books as possible. As we used to say in England in the past, 100 a day keeps Maya away. So, 100 may be too many, or you, I don't know, but, you know, 10, 20, whatever it is. But try and do something, and try and do it in this mood, and then you'll see, if you can get absorbed like that, how the mercy will just flow. Hare Krishna. Amen. So now, are these questions? Well, the thing is, we don't have time. Because we have to do whatever this presentation is.
Okay.
So how are we going to do that?
We're just 5 minutes over, Maharaj. So
we're just 5 minutes over. And now we'll be 10 minutes over. Well, we'll very quickly try and perhaps answer a couple of questions. In the Katha and Mundaka Upanishads it is said, the Supreme Lord Krishna is not attained by expert explanations, by vast intelligence, nor by much hearing. He is only attained by one who he himself chooses, and to such a person he manifests his own form. And, yeah, please explain this verse. Yes, he chooses. So how do you think he chooses? Close your eyes. You know. I choose you. Did you ever play that game? Pin the tail on the donkey with a blindfold? You know what I mean? There's a donkey you have to pin the tail on, but you blindfold her. So you're pinning. The donkey is there, but you pin the tail. So how is Krishna going to choose then? Is just put his hand in a hat and pull out a name? No, he chooses his devotees. He chooses those who really served him very nicely and very sincerely like that. And not just, well, expert explanations, vast intelligence. Not people like Keshav Kashmiri. He never chooses them unless they become reformed. But any innocent devotee, sincere devotee, is chosen by the Lord. And, nor by much hearing, the verse says. Yeah, but that doesn't mean devotional hearing. Because according to Prahlad Maharaj, who is our great, great authority, the first process for getting the mercy of the Lord is first you hear about Him. So obviously it's not that sort of hearing which is not needed. Otherwise we'd have to say, Prahlad Maharaj doesn't know what he's talking about, which we're certainly not going to say. So it's like that. How did you know that Krishna consciousness was for you? And was it difficult to convert for you? No, I never converted. I went to visit the temple in London in January 1973, and they invited me to stay as a guest. Just a guest. And I'm still here. I'm not converted. But it struck me, well, I noticed that it was working. I was doing some of the practices, like chanting, and it was relieving me from my anxiety, which I just couldn't get relieved from by any other means, and I really tried a few. And I thought, wow, this Krishna consciousness is helping me. Oh. So, you know, so I stuck with it and I'm still here. I would like to know, how do you undo things when you find out that you are very proud? Yeah, you realize that everyone thinks that you are just a big, proud fool. That you are thinking you are very great. So what do you do? Well, then you just got to eat humble pie. You can apologize. You know, humble pie is very tasty. Yeah. Humble pie is very sweet and nectarian. The first few bites may be a little difficult, but once you've acquired a little bit of the taste, humble pie is ecstatic. So yeah, if you realize you've put your foot in it in any way, then just be very humble and apologize to those around you. And then just try and be a humble devotee. Okay. That's the end of the questions. Srila Prabhupada ki.